This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
Good afternoon. I nearly said good Friday. It's not good Friday, but good happy Friday, people. It's Back Row and Chill for the next hour. We're going to be with you, bringing you the latest entertainment news, guests from the industry, and I am joined today by my lovely co-host.
Hello, everyone.
Sophie Craig, who only talks in song today, apparently.
I do. No, don't worry. That's really annoying, isn't it?
Can you imagine if, like, that Scrubs episode, we wake up and everyone just sings in song?
I loved that.
I would
it's
actually
like
love that.
Real life glee.
But shit for me, because I can't really sing, so everyone would just be like, ooh!
Don't worry, I got your back, babes.
Bit of miming. Yeah. It's exciting. We're going to get our first guest on pretty quickly, because they are actually performing tonight. Ooh. So we're going to have to, like, get them on as quickly as possible. But make sure you stay tuned to the whole show, because we're also going to be announcing our King Arthur competition for the winner of that. Maybe you won, maybe you didn't. Make sure that you are following our Twitter at FUBAR Radio, because you can't get involved in our competitions unless you're following the Twitter. I'm also going to shout out FUBAR's Facebook page, because me and Sophie have spent the day making a comedy sketch, which is going to be going up there pretty soon as well. So just make sure you're following it, and then you're not going to miss any of the office banter,
the hilarious content
that we've been making today. As usual on the show, I pick movies from songs, not necessarily soundtracks, but, you know, movies and songs, but inspired by songs, featuring in songs, whatever. And I've gone for an Ocean's 11. Mm-hmm. Ocean's 11 song, Elvis Presley. He also features in the brand new Blade Runner movie, which I got to go to the screening of it this week. So I'm going to be reviewing that later in the show if you are a sci-fi fan, 80s movie fan, Ryan Gosling fan. There is a link. Elvis Presley appears in both of those movies. Mm. So let's get down to it. It's Back Row and Chill.
Please.
Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
Boom, we are back with our first guest of the show. So a huge welcome to Joseph Barnes-Phillip and Dominic Garfield. Both of you sound very famous.
Hello. We're not. Maybe one day, who knows?
You've got famous names, famo names.
Straight, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, my name's Fire.
We like that.
And you were here to talk about your brand new show opened last night called Bigfoot Tour, which is it? I'm assuming it's not about the Bigfoot.
It's not about the actual Bigfoot, no.
Okay.
But we do have a Bigfoot in the studio, so yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've got quite big feet.
Where are you hiding your Bigfoot?
Well, wherever you want me to hide the Bigfoot.
You're going to smell. Where is the, what is the show about if it's not actual... The actual hairy man.
What's the show about?
Yeah.
So it's about a character called Rayleigh. That's going through like a coming of age story. Mm-hmm. He's a OG on the roads, as they say. We kind of see him in that life a little bit. Popping Don Perignon every night, getting a little bit high with his Margiela's and his Versace shirts. Quickly moving on to kind of like finding himself while he's looking after his sick mum. And he's kind of like trying to figure out who he is. And then ends up in quite a like little sticky place. At the end of the story, really.
And it's semi-autobiographical, is that right?
It is, yes.
It's quite brave, isn't it? Putting you, this is my...
Yeah, it's a tough thing, man. We had a press night yesterday and it was mad emotional.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was
real.
Oh,
wow.
And it's set in South London, is that right?
Yeah, set in Crystal Palace.
Oh, Crystal Palace. Okay. Oh, I read something about Bromley and I got really excited because she lives in Bromley. And I'm from Lewisham, so I was like, yeah!
Annalie's like Bromley Borough.
Yeah.
I went to school in Bromley.
Did you?
Yeah.
What school?
The Ravensbourne.
No way!
Ravensbourne College.
Where'd you go?
I didn't. I'm
She's northern, but she lives
there.
In Bromley.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I'm from half went there.
I'm from Lewisham.
That school churns out some people. David Bowie, he went there.
Oh.
So you went there.
Oh, you might be talking about the wrong thing.
Oh, maybe.
You're talking about Ravensbourne College. I go to the little school, man.
Oh, just
Ravensbourne.
Yeah, just a little secondary school, man.
Yeah, no, they did. They had David Bowie there.
Oh, you went there? I thought you went to Ravenswood.
No, mate, we're on the wrong page.
That's what I'm trying to say, man. Come on, man. Get your Bromley knowledge down,
no,
bro.
No, Ravensbourne is like.
She hasn't passed the test yet. She's a citizen of Bromley.
I'm northern. Leave me alone.
You're doing it right.
What's a road?
So you're both from South London?
No, I'm from North London.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we hate each other, really.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah. We draw a line in the room when we're rehearsing. Just don't cross it. Do you know what I mean?
And so how did you guys collaborate? Were you friends before or have you got together through working together?
Yeah, we went to uni together, man.
Oh, okay.
We met each other when we were looking for a house. We were both late. And we found each other.
It's still the same today.
Yeah,
always.
Still the same. True.
And decided, hey, do you want to get involved in my project? And
So we were at acting school on a... East 15 Contemporary Theatre course, mm-hmm. and we were the only two Londoners, and the riots kicked off, and we were a bit pissed off about it because all of our friends and people got involved.
Yeah,
and we kind of wanted to talk about it, so kind of doing that, we kind of made our first piece together, and then in doing that, we kind of went further with working with each other because we felt like we had a similar ethos in working.
Yeah,
wicked.
Do you remember the London riots? They were.
I was in Manchester.
I was in London.
I thought you were going to say you're in them.
No.
Yeah, I was the cause. No. I wasn't.
Well, technically, my first little like TV acting piece, I played, they did a dramatisation of the London riots on Channel 4, mm-hmm. I think, called London's Burning. And I got to play the little chav girl that apparently started off the looting in Clapham Common.
Yeah, you look like a thug.
So that was my claim to fame.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to Bigfoot mm-hmm. Tour. Bigfoot Tour. Is it called Bigfoot Tour?
It's called Bigfoot, and it's going on tour.
Got it now.
There was a comma missing somewhere or something. I'm not sure.
For sure. Yeah. And how long's the show? And like, if people are like, yeah, I want to support this. Where can they go and see it?
So it's going on for about 6 weeks. We're at Stratford. We open at Stratford on Wednesday. And we're there till Saturday. I go to Margate on Wednesday, next week Wednesday, mm-hmm. and then I'm at Arts Depot on Friday, Saturday on mm-hmm. the 14th. And we're going until what?
Mid-November.
November 10th is when I finish in Leicester. Just so we're going all around the place, yeah.
Wow. That's
and
amazing.
For anyone out there who's like, well, I want to do this, or like I've got loads of ideas, or I've got a story that I want to tell, because I've looked into putting on my own theatre show a few years ago and I really struggled to find funding, places to put them on. Like, if you could like give advice to people out there who are like, I kind of want to tell my story, what would your advice be for...
It would probably just be to graft hard and, mm-hmm. and kind of know the story that you want to tell and know the kind of work that you want to make. Don't make work for the sake of it. Like sit on a project for a while if you need to. Mm-hmm. Not that we've had we haven't really done that, but like, you know, the more time you can have, the better. So a lot of people want to rush into stuff. That's it really. And it's just about being true to yourself really, I think.
Yeah, man. Too many people tell stories that are not true to them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And people can see right through that.
Yeah.
So it's about just being honest with yourself and grafted and knowing that you're putting in the hard work for a reason, because you're not getting paid for all the hard work that you're doing.
Mm. Yeah, it's a passion, isn't it?
It's a passion thing, yeah.
We were talking just before the show about typecasting, and because me and Sophie both come from acting backgrounds, and we were always typecast at the beginning as prostitutes, wasn't it?
Yeah, I played many a prostitute leaving drama school.
Yeah, which is not really true to story.
I mean, I had to put my foot down. It got to a point where it was like, do you know what? I will not be seen to be a prostitute again. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, every single thing was, I was always in my underwear.
Do you guys get typecast?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
big angry black guy.
Gangster. Really?
Nah.
Yeah, no, I did genuinely.
Yeah,
you're
genuinely.
Just so smiling.
Yeah. Genuinely, that's my typecast, and he's always a terrorist.
Oh yeah.
What?
Yeah, which is mad because it's just crazy, really. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, you do have to kind of get to the point where you're like, I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
And then you have your arguments with your agents about it, and then. Try and get through
break
that.
Out the wall. No, I went to drama school, and one of my best friends there was an actor called Waj Ali, and we joked, and we were always like joking, like, you're going to play a terrorist, you're going to play a terrorist. And we walked out of drama school, and his first ever gig was he was in Red 2 with Bruce Willis, and he was the helicopter terrorist. Not only.
At least he got helicopter terrorists.
With Bruce Willis.
Exactly. Well, I was a prostitute in a short film.
I asked him, I was like, how did you like pretend to drive a helicopter, mate? You don't know how to drive a car. And he was like, I just winged it. I was just pressing buttons and pretending that like I was like really cool. And then he went on to be the lead. He's the lead terrorist guy in the recent BBC drama, all about what if there was a terrorist attack on Westfield in London. So he's doing really, really well. But the joke of him always playing a terrorist is kind of not so funny anymore, because it is kind of the gigs that he's getting. And I wish that people would like switch it up a little bit.
Mm. I can play a terrorist.
You could.
Yeah, you could.
Anyone could.
Yeah. That's the point.
You could. I mean, to be honest, kind of look like you might have something
in
your eyes.
It's like twitch
right
in
now.
My eye, isn't it?
I can just kind of only just see you through all of these beams and cameras
Hello.
And mics.
But for sure. So tonight, you are performing tonight. So do you guys have any particular like warm-up things? You get ready? Do you do the like ma 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 or like?
Right now, he's just like, the show opens in a very warm way. And at the moment, he dances about the stage dressed as his mum, basically, is in like the bottom line. So you're welcomed in, basically. We'll give a little bit. You're welcomed into the theatre, and you're introduced to this woman who's Moongazer, who's the mother.
Yeah.
So he's in full drag playing his mum, which is really lovely. So yeah, he's been like 10 minutes on stage beforehand dancing around to some old school calypso.
I weirdly like it when guys do drag. I think it's like a confidence thing. It's like, wow, if you're so secure in yourself that you can like mess around as the opposite sex, I'm like, I find that really tragic.
Yeah,
so.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
It was important as well because Joe plays three characters, and two of them are girls and one of them's a man. Mm, so it's more women than men.
Okay.
Which we didn't really realise was kind of poignant until yesterday when we got told that it was.
Yeah. Because it's kind of like a male's coming of age story, but the women are ridiculously important to who the man is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, it's mad.
Yeah, because you've got his girlfriend that's pregnant as well. That's a big old thing, isn't it, to have to deal with and tackle as well as his mum and stuff. It's all like women, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Heavily women influence.
It is super, but at the same time, it's one of those things where I wanted to tell a story about a young man that is deemed to be this monster that really actually cares,
mm-hmm.
and it's not one of these dons on the road that you just have to kind of shuffle past with your bag and hold it closely, even though you do when you see
him. Yeah.
But there's more to him, so we do talk about him caring for his mom, and we do talk about abortion and how he feels about that and how he wants to be a dad and all of these different things mm-hmm. that we don't necessarily normally see when you have somebody that looks like me on stage, which I think is quite good.
Yeah, definitely.
My two favourite kind of like plot stories for films are unexpected friendships. So like in Leon with like the little girl and the hitman, mm-hmm. or I've completely lost any other movie, but there's Unexpected Friendships, or sort of, yeah, unexpected characters. So when you think the person's one thing, and then you completely
like Shrek.
Like Shrek. Or Up. Yeah. Exactly. Gets you in the feels.
It was definitely important for us to like smash stereotypes, and like we try and do that as much as possible with all of our work that we make. So yeah, we've done like grime concerts that got narrative to them and stuff like that, which kind of completely smashes what the outside eye kind of thinks about that genre of music and that subculture. So yeah, it's a lot about what we do, is kind of trying to flip people's perceptions.
And why the medium of theatre? Would you think about also putting it on film?
Yeah, if that opportunity came about, fully on that.
Okay. If anyone's out there and wants to make this into a film,
all over that.
Yo, totally. Like, man, you get me. 079 me.
Totally available. all the best. I absolutely love it. When, like I said, I've tried to put on theatre before, and I came up against too many hurdles. So anyone who actually like makes it through and puts it on, I'm like, wow.
We need the right team. Need to holler at your boys.
Yeah, exactly. Let's write something about us.
Let's make this happen.
The northern girl that comes down
and doesn't know nothing about Bromley and isn't a prostitute.
No, David Bowie was there at some point. Okay, guys.
He was there. No, this is so exciting. And so, guys, where can they find? So it's Bigfoot. If anyone's joined us now, we're talking about brand new show Bigfoot, which is going to be on. It's Stratford Tonight.
Yeah, Stratford Tonight.
But until Saturday, yeah?
Until Saturday, yeah. Yep. But you can go on our website, highrisetheatre.co.uk.
That looked like we choreographed that.
Yeah, that was really, so smooth.
We really
did. Beautiful moment.
I mean, we just swapped domains. So it's really not good.
So
highrisetheatre.co.uk. That's the website. And then we're highrise_UK on Twitter and Facebook, Highrise Theatre.
You're going to have Twitter. You'll
find
on us.
Yeah. Or Black Theatre Live. You can also find us on that.
So Black Theatre Live are the touring company who we've been working with, Stratford Circus, the venue. And 100 other venues, so you should be able to find it.
But we're going to the north as well, so tell me all the dons in the north.
Big up the north.
What part of north are you from?
From the Lake District, Cumbria.
Oh, well, I don't think I'm going.
So good.
No, that's
going
very, Hexham. Very
where's,
north.
Where's the?
What are you going where?
I'm going to Hexham.
That's
like Newcastle.
Hexham, yeah, what? That's northeast, isn't it,
I'm
super northeast.
Newcastle, Leicester, Manchester.
Manchester. I lived in Manchester for a few years. Yeah, Manchester's wicked.
Say no more.
Best city ever.
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 Live.
Yeah. You been?
Yes.
I went once.
Did you? You didn't experience it. I'm going to take you up there and you're going to explore as much as stuff.
Oh, yeah, what with you?
Yeah, of course you did.
Okay. Right. Forgot that weekend. best we forget it. Thank you so much, guys. This has been really inspiring to talk to you guys. Thanks for being the first show, what's it called?
First guest.
The first guest.
There we go.
I was trying to think of like a funny, like, virginal thing, but no, it didn't work. Didn't work.
It's all right.
It's a long day. We've made sketches today. I've had a PT session. Personal trainer.
Oh.
Personal trainer.
So you're knackered?
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe you need to
it's okay,
take the hot seat. She's waiting. She's waiting for you to drop off that chair.
Just slide under the desk.
Slide on in there.
You're planning this all along, haven't you?
Right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to my radio show. It's me.
We were practicing earlier and she called it Craig Radio.
Who's Craig?
Me! She's Sophie Craig.
Yo, big up Craig Radio on this thing. Yeah,
thank you. Craig Radio.
The ting goes. Three plus three is four. Minus one. Quick math.
That's it. Quick bars. You got bars?
I got bars.
Can you spit? Wow.
Literal. Amazing. Right,
nothing came out either. It was just dry.
It was dry spit. You've got to learn how to spit like a man. I do it in the studio, but you know.
That's dead.
Hygiene, you know what I mean? We play songs from movies. So, ever seen a film called Pitch Perfect?
Yes. Which one, number two or number one?
Oh, here he is.
Oh, both. This is from number one. So this is Cups. Everyone's going to know it. We've got to tap around. We've got to do the thing. Ready? Everybody ready? Ready?
I'm just
making
this up.
We're going to cup. And three, four, one.
I got my ticket for the long way round. Two bottle whiskey for the way. And I sure would like some sweet company. And I'm leaving tomorrow. What do you say? When I'm gone, when I'm gone, you're gonna miss me when I'm gone. You're gonna miss me by my hair. You're gonna miss me everywhere. Oh, you're gonna miss me when I'm gone, when I'm gone. when I'm gone.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. It's Back Row and Chill. I'm joined by my co-host.
Hello.
I'm still doing it.
The singing Sophie Craig. Still doing it.
And we are, oh goodness, we're 20 minutes into the show already.
Woo!
Flying.
Time flies.
When you're talking to gentlemen. When you're talking to gentlemen. Right, so now I think we're going to move on with a bit of entertainment news.
Oh.
And reviews.
Thank you.
What is going on in the world of TV and Netflix and movies and celebrities? I am a massive Jackie Chan fan. Are you a Jackie Chan fan?
Not so much.
Not so much.
Well, I am, but I can't really tell you many of the movies that I've
yeah.
seen.
A lot of them were sort of pre-art age, just because my dad...
Karate Kid was.
Yes, that was a recent one, the remake, yes. But the original Jackie Chan movies, like Rumble in the Bronx.
Yeah, can't say.
Well, Rush Hour. But anyway, we digress. Rush Hour 4 has been confirmed with Jackie Chan, people. I repeat, Rush Hour 4 has been confirmed. I don't know any details about like the storyline or anything. But, I mean, he's getting on, Jackie.
Yeah, how old is he now?
97
years old.
I don't know. He's
knocking on a little bit, and he's still ever so limber.
I saw a documentary about him saying that he, and it was basically like a graphic of his body, and it was all the different injuries. He had something like 52 injuries on his sets because he does most of his own stunts.
Yeah.
So legend. He's like broken this part of his foot and his neck and his back and this ear and that whatever.
This ear.
I don't think you can break an ear, but, you know.
Oh, my gosh, he's 63.
Wow, and he's going to be Rush Hour 4.
That's amazing.
Go. And, right, so also V for Vendetta, which is one of... it's like a weird little guilty pleasure of mine. I do love that movie, even though it's dark and whatever. Have you seen it? V for Vendetta? No. Oh, my God, it's Natalie Portman. It's Natalie Portman when she shaves her head.
Oh, isn't that the guy in the mask, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Now the Anonymous, we know him as, like, the Anonymous
Anonymous,
guy,
yeah.
But he's called V.
Right.
And it's set in this... it's set in this world that is so... It's slightly in the future, but it is so close to what could actually happen with all the sort of Trumps and Brexit-y kind of stuff. It's a little bit too... It's uncomfortable. And it's, set in a world where this new government have come in and they're getting rid of gay people, they're getting rid of foreign people, and
oh my God,
you know, all that kind of stuff.
That is literally what's
they're controlling
going
the
on.
Media. They're controlling, you know, it's very cool. And basically, there's this like this. Well, he would be labelled a terrorist, and it's a guy called V, and he wants to blow up Parliament.
Like Guy Fawkes.
Yeah, he wants to finish what Guy Fawkes started,
essentially.
And he kind of recruits Natalie Portman in,
right?
And kind of.
I think I have seen it. I think it was a very long time ago.
But a TV series has been announced that is in development. So they're going to maybe be bringing back, possibly because it is so on the money right now with
what's going on.
You know,
I will watch that.
And I also heard from other unconfirmed sources that I know that potentially the National Theatre are going to be putting it on as well. So, oh my God, I really want to audition for it. But I don't want to shave my head.
I think you'd rock a shaved head.
I've rocked half a shaved head before.
I remember seeing the picture.
It was not a good look.
Yeah, no. I mean, my head's massive. Like, I have a really big head. If I was
really
to shave my head, like, what we would look beautiful.
Look beautiful. I looked like... what did I look like? Well, I called it the Friar Tuck. Because I had this really like extreme arty haircut like 4 years ago, and instead of like shaving like the underside or like what normal people shave, the guy shaved a quarter of the top of my head, and I literally called it the Friar Tuck.
So you had like the little tufts going on.
I had a little ball patch. I had hair around my ears and nothing on the top of my head. It was seriously unattractive.
Oh dear.
But you know what? You live with it.
It's
all grown out now. It's fine.
Exactly.
It's fine. Dwayne Johnson is in the news, aka The Rock.
Oh.
Because the Fast and Furious people were getting a bit pissed off at him because he's pushed back the Fast and Furious 9 by another year. So it's now going to be coming out April 2020.
It's a long time.
Which seems like a long time, but actually, not.
No, it's not. We're nearly 2018.
80
days till Christmas, not that I'm counting.
Is it?
Something like that, yeah. maybe 79.
Maybe 79.
Something like that.
Which, yeah, 2020, that's crazy. We're in the year, nearly in the year 2018.
Oh, gosh. Do you remember at school, whenever you used to talk about, like, robots and flying cars?
Yeah,
and all
where
that?
The fuck
you'd be
are
like,
robots?
You'd be like, oh, 2015, we're going to have robots and cars will be flying.
And hoverboards.
And hoverboards. And that's what you get there. And it's like, oh, it's my Toyota Yaris.
We didn't get a hoverboard. I've still got a car with a cassette player in. That's how modern my 2017 is. But so Dwayne Johnson is pushing back Fast and Furious 9, and all the cast members are a bit pissed off at him because he's kind of running the show because he's probably the most famo person in it. But the reason being it's pushed back is because they've got a whole spin-off movie just for him, and that's going to come out before the Fast and Furious 9.
Yes.
So my question is, when are they going to stop making these movies, and how much money are they going to generate in total?
Oh my gosh, yeah, of course.
Billions and millions. And we're going to be probably taking our kids to Fast and Furious 27.
I think, like, Fast and Furious 84.
Imagine when they get really old. They've got to, like, age them as well.
Yeah, of course. So, yeah, apparently there was a bit of beef on Twitter as well from...
Twitter beef!
From Dwayne Johnson. Yeah, there was a big
a big
thing about, like, one of the cast members throwing shade on him, and he kind of came back with, like, I'm not deleting this tweet, you're just blah blah blah, like, it's not my fault, I'm, you know, like, the thing, because it was a big beef about him being, like, it was all about him, you know, the Fast and Furious franchise, it was just all about him and not about anybody else in the cast, and it got a bit beefy.
It's not about you, he's being a diva.
He's been a diva, but he's actually kind of right. I mean,
he's a good diva. I do love The Rock.
I love The Rock. I think he's just an amazing guy. I'm trying to scroll through his Twitter now to see if I can find this beef. But
trying to find the beef of Twitter. While we're here, before we go back to another one of the songs that I have planned for today, we've got to announce our lucky winner for the King Arthur competition that we hosted last week.
Woo-hoo!
And the winner is Barbara Tanner. I like your name, Barbara. Which is at BarbLitzy8. That's your Twitter handle. Well done for getting involved, and we're going to be sending those prizes to you.
Big old congratulations, Barbara.
Which is amazing. And we've got a new competition to start this week, so stay tuned after this song to tell you all the details, and just make sure that you hop onto the Twitter now and make sure you're following at FUBAR Radio, because all you have to do is literally retweet our competition and you are in the running.
Easy as that. Easy peasy.
Recently, I have joined a thing called Disney Life, where you pay like $4.99 a month and you basically get the entire catalogue of Disney movies and everything. It's a bit like Disney Netflix in a basic form. So I'm going through all the old Disney movies because it's my happy place.
I love Disney.
But what they also have, which is amazing, is they also have loads of behind the scenes footage, and they've made like 2-3 minutes. So in between watching whatever movies or series, you can pick to watch the behind the scenes. So I watched Aladdin on the airplane recently, and then I was watching all the behind the scenes. So the casting. So I got to see all the people like who did the voice of Jafar, who did the voice of Aladdin, Jasmine.
Really?
And it just blows your mind because you're like these children characters that you've got ingrained in your head. You're like, you don't look like Aladdin.
Yeah.
Or you got footage of Robin Williams like improvising as the genie. And I was like, oh, so I wanted to shout out, if you get Disney Life, make sure you do check out the behind the scenes stuff because it is wicked. And I'm going to play a little song from Aladdin.
Yes.
Just to, like, you know, why not? Fuck it, it's Friday. Why not? So this is Prince Ali.
Oh
by,
my God.
By
I
Robin
love
Williams.
This.
Better get ready.
For Prince Ali.
Hey, clear the way in the old bazaar.
Hey, you!
Let us through, it's a bright new star. Oh, come be the first on your block to meet his eye. Make way, here he comes, ring bells, bang the drum. Are you gonna love this guy? Prince Ali, fabulous he, Ali Ababa. Genuflect, show some respect, down on one knee. Now try your best to stay calm, brush up your Sunday salon, and come and meet his spectacular coterie. Prince Ali, mighty is he, Ali Ababa. Strong as 10 regular men, definitely.
with swords, who sent those goons to their lord?
Why, Prince Ali, he's got 75 golden cannons.
Don't they look lovely, June? Fabulous, Harry, I love the feathers.
When it comes to exotic type mammals,
has he got a zoo? I'm telling you, it's a world-class menagerie.
Prince Ali, handsome as he, Ali Ababa. That's a zig, how can I speak wicked the name? Well, get on out in that square. I just developed a pair.
Your princess was a sight lovely to see, and that good people is why he got dolled up and dropped by.
Prince sings the elephant's lover story, bears and lions, a press and memorial, his 40 bakers, his cooks, his makers, his birds and water.
We went to another party yesterday, courtesy of Glenmorangie Whiskey. We were probably the most interesting people there.
Okay. Well, you definitely were. You got a photo in the paper.
I got added to the...
I saw that.
It's so funny, though, because everyone gets this frame for their photo, nice squared-off photo, and it's just me added in, making it like a fucking scrapbook.
Right on the end as well, so if you want, you could tear that bit of the paper out.
Yeah. In like little brackets, says, this photo is also available without Michael Penn. That evening standard, wow. For real. Diversity quotas for the win.
Every Wednesday, Penis Wester Incorporated from 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
You are listening to FUBAR Radio. It's Backroom and Chill. Welcome.
Welcome.
Ooh, no. We're in sync, babe. We're going to bring our periods together as soon as everything. Right, competition time. If you would like to win, all you got to do, make sure you're on that Twitter at FUBAR Radio. We have got The Ritual, the movie. We've got a merch pack that you could win, including a sleeping bag, a first aid kit, a Maglite torch.
Ooh.
I don't know what that is.
Ooh.
And more.
Ooh. What's the more?
What's the more? Exactly. Ooh. Exactly. Yeah, if you want to win, make sure that you just go and retweet the post that we're going to put out right now. It's out. Boom. And we're going to be picking the winner in the week, and we'll announce it on next week's show. It's free to enter, guys. It's free shit. Free stuff.
This looks really scary, The Ritual.
The Ritual, yeah. I'm a bit tentative about scary movies because I am,
but I've been in the mood for a real scary movie.
Really?
Yeah, recently. But I'm not. I'm like, I will watch something and then I will not sleep.
Well, that's the thing. I've got grown up enough that I can actually watch stuff.
I feel really grown up.
Yeah, I'm really good. It used to be the fact that I'd see something with an 18 and I'd go, oh, no, not for me. No, no, no.
Yes. Do you know, it's gore. I can't deal with gore.
Yeah.
I remember watching Paranormal Activity at the cinema for the first time. Oh. I went with a lot of my friends from uni, and they made everybody sit next to each other, like in the cinema, so any spare seats that, like, they squashed you all together so you could like feed off everybody else's like vibes.
Ooh.
And it was frightening, and we all slept in the same room that night, and
what, then everyone in the cinema.
Yeah, I went back to mine. It was a pretty good party. And then we went to see Saw as well, and I remember I actually threw up in my mouth a little bit, like,
oh my God,
when he was cutting his arm off, and I was just like, nah, this isn't for me,
not for me.
No, but, yeah, scary movies.
So yeah, maybe The Ritual. I'll have to check out the trailer. But the thing that happens is, yeah, you're right, I can kind of get through it in the moment, and then but it's my subconscious that I fucked. So then later on, when I'm alone at night,
yeah,
in the middle of the morning,
and there's that person that just stands at the end of your bed, and
no,
yeah,
no. Okay, you are bringing up such a good movie that's come out on Netflix, but it's one of the only things in a film that's made me go bah! Recently, which was somebody at the end of a bed licking someone's foot. Freaked me out. That sounded almost sexual there.
I was going to say, that sounds like a really great night.
No, I'm kidding. But there is this movie on Netflix, which is called Gerald's Game. Right. Which is a Stephen King adaptation, right. Which obviously everyone's like jizzing all over him at the moment. Like, there's The It, there's The Mist, there's all the other one, 1922 that's coming out. So Gerald's Game is a really, really cool concept. It's about a married couple in their kind of like 40s, 50s, and they are going away to a holiday house, really reclusive holiday house, to try and spice up their marriage. Ooh. So she's bought new saucy underwear and he has bought like proper handcuffs. Mm. Like, you are not getting out of these.
Like, not fluff on them.
No, proper handcuffs.
Oh my gosh. I've seen the trailer for this.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And she just, yes.
And so in a nutshell, the premise of the movie is that she gets tied to the bed and in the middle of the sex game, kind of gone wrong, he has a heart attack and dies.
Yeah, and she's left there.
And she's stuck in the middle of the forest.
Yeah, no, I've seen this one. Yeah.
And she's tied to the bed. And the film is basically a kind of inner monologue. She starts hallucinating because she's so thirsty. And she sees... she talks to both her dead husband, herself, and herself as a child, because there's some dark stuff that went on when she was a child that she has to address while that she's like facing her death. Such a good premise. But I watched it on my own in my room, and in the movie she also, in her hallucinations, she also sees death, and he was at the end of the bed licking her foot, and it I gotta say, peed my pants a little bit.
Oh, I need to watch this.
But don't be put off by it. It's brilliant.
No, yeah,
it's
I've seen the trailer for it. I think I was
psychological thriller. And if I got through it, then you know I'm probably just about as pussy as you get. So if I can hack it, you could definitely hack it. Okay. But I would definitely go and watch Gerald's Game on Netflix.
I saw the trailer for it. I contemplated it, but it's made me go with something else.
Right. I think if I'm ever going to have like a tied down sex game, I'm going to make sure that there's some sort of like safety procedure.
Always keep one hand free.
Ah,
maybe that's what it should be.
Yeah.
But then again, so if you're tied to the bed and you've got one hand free, it doesn't make much of a difference, does it?
But it makes all the difference.
Just wave at people.
Yeah. Hello. For sure. So that was what I was loving on. So it's probably a mixture of Gerald's Game, and also I have started watching, I'm so late to the party, but The Walking Dead. Because I didn't watch it before, because I lived alone in a very scary big building. And I just thought, you know what? I'm not going to start watching The Walking Dead on my own. But now I live with other people, and so started watching it. And I'm whizzing through it, and I'm loving it. Because the Series 8, I believe, is about to come out. So I'm trying to, like, quickly catch up before, you know, so I'm not the only loser.
That's
at the
what
end
I need to do with Game of Thrones, I think.
You do. My parents have got into Game of Thrones, and I'm getting random texts from my mum being like, oh, excuse the spoiler alert. Jon Snow's dead!
Winter is coming.
Him. Yeah.
And, see, I don't even watch it and I know about Jon Snow.
Well, we all know about Jon Snow, don't we? We all know.
Kit Harington.
Oh, talking of Kit Harington, I mentioned briefly last week, but there is this amazing movie called Brimstone that's coming out, and I got sent to review it, and I think it's one of my favourites this year. It's so good, so dark. It's set in four chapters, and it's set in the kind of colonial sort of witch hunting days in New America.
Oh, this sounds right up my street.
Yeah, and it's about this girl who is played by Dakota Fanning, and I'm saying like Oscar buzz, like really good. She doesn't have a tongue, and she signs.
I remember you telling me about this.
Oh, I've been raving about it to everyone.
Yeah.
It's called, you sort of explore the backstory. She lives in this little tiny village in New England, and then this new, really scary Dutch reverend priest arrives, and instantly you know that they know each other, and there's like this whole massive backstory, but you're like, what is it? And then the film explores her story and how she became, how her tongue got cut off, and like all this stuff, and it's so good. And so Brimstone, if you can find that or see that. Actually, I've got a little trailer clip right here that I'm going to play for you, so you can get a little like a little vision of what I'm talking about here. This is the trailer for Brimstone.
Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, for inwardly they are ravening wolves. Jesus is the shepherd who protects you from those wolves. And I am his dog, the sheepdog that get the lambs back on track when they stray off the path. And some of you have strayed, haven't you?
Mama, are you evil? Reverend says he's here to take you back where he came from.
Do you know why I'm here? I'm here to punish you.
He ain't never gonna stop, is he?
I've seen your mother. She's the kind of person that turns the other cheek. Do you like her? Never leave your loved ones alone.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
It started out as a feeling, which then grew into a hope, which then turned into a quiet thought, which then turned into a quiet word. And then that word grew louder and louder, till it was a battle cry. I'll come back when you call me. No need to say goodbye. Just because everything's changing doesn't mean it's never been this way before. All you can do is try to know who your friends are as you head off to the war. Pick a star on the dark horizon and follow the light. You'll come back when it's over. No need to say goodbye. You'll come back when it's over. No need to say goodbye. They can't feel it too, doesn't mean that you have to forget. Let your memories grow stronger and stronger till they're before your eyes. You'll come back when they call you. No need to say goodbye. When they call you, no need to say goodbye.
A bit of Regina Spektor there from Prince Caspian, the
thank
movie.
Thank you, Regina.
There we go. Thank you, Regina. I feel very chilled now. Ooh. But we're going to bring it back up because the weekend's about to begin.
And we've
got, yay! And we got the last guest on the show. So huge welcome to Ollie Forsyth.
Hello.
Hello.
Come in. Welcome. Come in. You're already in.
I'm sat down. I'm ready to go.
You're ready to go. We're here to talk about your new show called King.
Yes.
Mm. Which is the... Or like it's a great title. I mean, immediately
cheers,
I'm like,
mate. Thanks.
King. Mm. I thought about changing my last name to King, but like the sound of it.
What was it, as in just, you thought it would just give you an extra boost just in the day, or was it like a professional thing?
King, just sounded nice, didn't it?
Yeah.
Johanna King.
Mrs. King. But maybe I just want to be, the boss tonight.
Right. Fair enough.
But yeah, what is King's about?
It's a show about a group of homeless people who are living under the arches in Southwark.
Oh.
And they sort of eking out a life day to day, and then one day someone walks into the camp called Kaz, and she can do magic tricks, and sort of slowly by bringing in magic tricks she brings in more money, she brings in more food, she brings in that sort of thing. Slowly she starts to get a bigger and bigger status in the group, and then it starts to take a bit of a sinister twist when she gets her hands on most of them.
Ooh, so ooh. Is she homeless as well?
She is. Ooh. Yeah, it was. It came out of like this idea that the idea of kind of being homeless is something we generally speaking, you walk past,
yeah.
like, which is just what everybody does. But I wanted to think about something that like the kind of power that might afford someone. That if no one remembers who you are or doesn't ask your name or anything like that, then you could if you're not protected by society, you might as well do whatever you like because no one's going to be able to follow
it's
up.
It's like this whole underground society,
exactly
in front of our faces, but we can't see it.
Exactly, right,
like
there.
Harry Potter.
Just like it's nothing like Harry Potter. It's nothing like Harry.
Platform 9 3/4.
Is that a big? Is Harry Potter a big reference point on this show?
Us, we're just big fans.
I was listening in the back room. I heard some really dodgy stuff about Stephen King and licking feet. That was I walked
oh,
right
yeah.
in on that
yeah,
moment.
And about a film
that's on Netflix at the moment. Yeah,
yeah.
We like to talk about licking feet in Harry Potter. Not in that
welcome.
I need to come back this again.
So it's going to be on at the new Diorama Theatre.
Yeah,
well, it's already on.
It's already on.
It's going to continue being on at the new Diorama Theatre.
Oh my
That's
gosh, such
so
your press night tonight as well.
Yeah, we've got
You're excited. Fingers
yeah.
crossed.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, yeah, you just sit at the back kind of and hope it all goes right. Mm-hmm. It's terrifying. You can do nothing at
and
that point.
So you wrote and directed this project.
Yes.
You're quite young. How is this your first?
No.
Oh, no.
No, I set up the company in 2013, which is called Smoke and Oakham Theatre. And since then, we've just been making a lot of work sort of on fringe theatre
mm-hmm.
levels. And then it's been slowly, but the texts have started being published and it's kind of grown and grown and grown from there. So we've done lots of runs in Edinburgh and Brighton and all of that sort of jazz. And then we got the offer from New Dioramas to do a full 3-week run in London with Kings that had previewed before at Vault Festival, which
right.
is underground in Waterloo.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
it's one of those ones where you're like, oh, it feels like something we should probably do. So you sign the contract and then suddenly you're like, oh, wow, it's happening now. Mm-hmm. We've got ideas. But it's been great. Yeah, it's really nice to be doing it in London. Usually to get a run this long, you've got to go out to Edinburgh and sort of yeah. have a 2-bed house with 8 people living in it and people sleeping in the bath and all of that sort of stuff to
yeah.
try and like just to try and get a show on. So mm-hmm. it's lovely to be in London and
it's your show.
Yeah, I get yeah. to go home every night. It's
yeah.
amazing.
It's wow.
Oh,
and it's a massive achievement.
Do you sit in and watch most nights or do you let it roll?
I will let it go.
Okay.
I will eventually like leave and let them get on with it. But yeah, the minute I'm definitely in every night. Just because you work so like long on a project. Mm. So I had the idea for Kings in December 2016, wrote it in February, then I only had like 5 preview performances and now it's on, so that's coming up to like nearly a year's worth of work.
Oh.
And it comes down to just a few nights in October, and
yeah.
so it's, the idea of not watching that is if I wasn't in, someone would be like, it's bonkers, like get back in there,
yeah, drink it all in.
Yeah, except, but I feel bad for the actors because I was like, when is this guy going to leave? Staring there and furiously scribbling away, like,
no,
terrible, terrible. It's just awful.
I think this is a really good premise because I'm trying to think of like sort of movies or shows that have shown another world of homelessness, and I'm thinking the thing that pops in is Home Alone 2.
Yeah.
With because that was the first time I ever saw as a kid the homeless lady,
yeah,
and her story, she was initially scary and then she was like the sweetest old woman who feed the pigeons, and just thinking like, great, it's great that you're making projects about this.
Thanks very much, man. Yeah, it's a weird one to write about, isn't it? Because often I think if someone's like, write a play about homeless, and it's one of the things I worry about, if I say it's a play about homeless people, I can sort of already hear people going, oh, I don't really want to spend 90 minutes being kind of coshed over the head with...
You should care about homeless people.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And that's just not... Fundamentally, I'm a writer before anything else, and there's no point making a story unless it's entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
So the story of these guys carries a point with it, but there's no point where you're kind of being coshed over the head with just how terrible it is. It's hopefully should be something that's subtle that you kind of then feel as you leave.
It is comical as well, isn't it? Dark comedy.
Yeah, I do lots of, so I when I started out at writing, I started out as like a spoken word poet, and we got into like the comedy clubs through there. So we still run a night called Stand Up and Slam, which is the Camden Comedy Club.
Ooh.
Where we take on
cool.
poets or comedians. You have like 3 minutes up against each other and then 7 minutes, and then you've got to think of something on your feet with a thing.
Improv. Oh my god, I'm bad at anything rhyming improv-y.
Yeah.
I just get so stuck and then I end up, I can't remember what I'm called, what anything's called.
Do you don't do well in the rap battles? That's not your...
No, battles are not my thing.
Not your thing. But out of
my
that...
forte.
It's but out of that, you learn a little bit about it's... how excruciating it is to be in a room of people. Like, the best thing about a stand-up audience is, like, if you're bad, they will switch off. They will start heckling. They'll get up and get a drink. Oh, my God. The worst one, the worst heckle is just a sigh from the back. Yeah. Just someone going, just like...
You'd rather have people going, "Your shit, get off," as opposed to...
Yeah. you should do better.
Thanks, Mum.
She's in on every show.
Really supportive. Thank you.
So when you then get to theatre, I'm always staggered by people I think who came up as writers only in theatre. They must just then get there and it's nice to know how quickly an audience can lose their attention. And in theatre, they don't tell you that. They just sit there quietly for an hour and a half and then they loop
warmly. Yeah, it's
etiquette, isn't it? Yeah.
So and then they'll let it all out when they leave.
Yeah.
That was so shit!
So, like, the jokey sections in Kings are really great because it's like flipping to the back of the book in an exam. Like, you can check in that they're still there. You crack a joke and they laugh. And like,
they're alive.
You're listening. Somebody's dead. Thank God. Always a fear. Always a fear.
And so, now obviously, I mean, it's a bit mean to ask this now as you're still in the project, but future projects, what have you got your eye on, or what's cooking, or what would you like to do?
Well, as me as a writer or the company? As a writer, I've just started work on another show earlier this week, so it's just in that phase where it's like putting ideas on the wall.
Okay.
I'm kind of seeing if they all link up, which is cool. So I got a couple of people to pitch that to in the next couple of weeks, which will be fun. And then as a company, an earlier show we did was called Cornerment, which was all about sort of management side of the boxing industry, is going on tour. So we've got 16 dates lined up around the UK.
Very busy 2018.
It's going to be mint. It's going to be great.
Exciting.
So and then trying to write a TV script at the minute as well, which has been fun, but different.
Is it different to write TV to theatre scripts?
Mate, it's bonkers. It's mad.
Really? Like, you completely can't, different.
It's
worlds.
So odd. Yeah. I read the pilot for Breaking Bad, which is an excellent show.
Yes.
And reading the script was like, this is shit. This is rubbish.
Really?
Like, yeah. It reads more like a comic book than like a script. Like, it's kind of like, camera up on Walter White. Did I mention he's wearing only pants? And you're like, what the fuck is this?
The thing that I really liked about the Breaking Bad script as well is that the way that they describe things, like, they're not afraid of being like, he's fucking angry. It's like their stage direction's not like, he's angry. It's like, he's fucking angry as though his cat's just been murdered. Like, it's that, it really, it's really like emotive. And even that as a script itself is really different.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's the thing, isn't it? In TV and film, there's not, like, you get to see the product at the end of it. In theatre, like, we have scripts published and it's a big process.
And that, like, that is the core, isn't it, of it? Whereas TV, it's
not many people are going to go and buy. It's weird that we've both looked up the Breaking Bad script.
Yeah, I feel like, really, I'm missing out.
You want to take yourself out of the room for 5 minutes, go and get that script.
Third wheel here for the script nerds. Sorry!
but it's really odd. You don't get to write as much dialogue. Like, dialogue is always, for me, the best part of any
it drives
scene.
It yeah.
Yeah, sure. And when you can get two characters who have formed enough to chat and really chat, then you're cooking. But in TV, it's sort of just because you can show so much
without speaking.
I realised that when I was doing the amount of my plays, someone will come in and go like, "Oh, snowing outside, isn't it?" It's a completely unnecessary line in TV if you can just show that it's snowing. So there's so much exposition that needs to be out. Like, we've got a scene in this that starts with like, "God, 2 weeks later and here we are," and you can just show that.
We should write a pointless TV script in theatre style. Do you know what I mean? A comedy thing.
Just delivering loads of exposition. I'll watch that. I will back you guys for that.
Amazing. It's great. Oh my gosh, we're nearly out of time. Thank you so much for coming on. If you've just joined us, we're talking about King's new show at the new Diorama Theatre. I keep wanting to say diarrhea. It's not that.
Diorama.
I think a really lovely thing about it as well, we probably should mention it, is that it is produced in partnership with a homeless charity as well, isn't it? So tell us a little bit about that.
So it was produced in partnership with Centrepoint, who are a phenomenal charity that deal with youth homelessness and do like the big sleep out every year. An amazing charity. And I was doing fundraising for the project, writing out to various people, and we one of the people we contacted was Lisa Maxwell of The Bill and of Hollyoaks and all that stuff. And we contacted her and said, can we have some money? And she called me in the middle of the day, which was not something I was expecting, and was like, how about something more than that? And so she's on board. They're doing a post-show Q&A on the 12th, and Centrepoint are running it. So if you'd like to come and hear what they're saying, come along on the 12th.
Very
and hear
nice.
The show.
Come along, people. Well, we, oh my gosh, we're out of time. It's the end of the show. We're coming into land. Thank you so much, Ollie, for coming in. And Sophie for being my co-host this week.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a pleasure. She's sung her way all the way through. I hope you guys have an amazing weekend. Make sure you're following our Twitter and our Facebook page, FooBar Radio, to get involved with all the competitions we're running and to see any of the sketches that me and Sophie are going to be putting up. Just, you know, plugging myself.
Why not?
Have an amazing weekend. We will see you next week. This is Night Call from Drive. That's not it. Here it is.
Bye.